If you have your Bible with you, turn to Joshua chapter 1, turn or click. And if you have your phone, you have a Bible accessible there through either YouVersion or through the Rev City app, where you can also find the scripture, the sermon notes, and the scriptures that we'll be referencing today, along with reading the entire Bible and accessing all the daily devotionals that our team has been putting out. I want to encourage you with that. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1, and I want to encourage you today with a word called firm foundation. We sang about it earlier, but more than a song, it's the life that God has invited us to live out, and it's the invitation that we have. And I believe in this season, it's a timely word. I don't know what all 2024 has in store for us, but I believe it's a time to check our foundations. It's a time to build our foundations. It's a time to dig deep in God, because I just believe that almost every year has ups and downs. And again, I'm not buying into a lot of the fear-mongering and things that some people are getting into as regards what's coming for 2024. But I believe that there could be some mountains and some valleys. There could be some storms and some waves. And I want to encourage us that this is the time to predetermine that we're going to anchor ourselves to God. We're going to dig in and we're going to check and test the foundations of our faith so that if those things come, we will stand firm, stand fast, we will endure, and God will see us too and see us through. And so a new year is a good time to just take inventory of your life, of your faith, of your family, your financial condition, your fitness level, spiritually and emotionally. And a new year does not guarantee new results. If you keep doing the same things you were doing in 2023, turning the calendar to 2024 is just gonna give you 2024's version of that life. So I wanna encourage us that God is calling us to new and more, but to embrace the more that God has in store. I preached on it in depth last week. We're gonna have to be willing to embrace the new he's calling us to. New disciplines, new commitments, new mindsets. And so in a season where many people around us, and I encouraged us last week to make some goals, set some goals, have a vision, make some resolutions, but many resolutions fail. 92% of resolutions are abandoned or frustrated or fail by Valentine's Day. And I encourage us every year that maybe it's because we focus too much on do goals, and it would be better to focus on who goals. And again, I'm not minimizing the do goals, the things you actually want to do better, the way it's actually gonna kind of come out in your life. But maybe the grace to see those things through is found by focusing on who goals, who I want to become in Christ. But better yet, who am I going to anchor myself to? Who am I going to make my firm foundation for my life, for my marriage, for my future? So let's pray, and then we'll get into Joshua chapter 1. And I really believe that the Lord wants to challenge us and remind us and comfort us with some things today through the preaching of his word. And Lord, so we invite you. We don't take for granted the opportunity to be gathered together as your people, Lord, in your house, Lord, with your presence now, Lord, digging into your promises, which are found within your word. And Lord, right now, we take a moment to just say, come and speak to us today. And Lord, I thank you in advance that you would use an imperfect person like me, an imperfectly prepared message like what lies before me here to reveal the heart of a perfect father. And Holy Spirit, we know you, we've seen you do it before. Pastor Eddie just talked about it. We've seen how you could use one message and you can speak specifically and intentionally to every heart, every circumstance, every situation, every opportunity, every challenge, every obstacle, Lord. And so that's what we ask you to do today, Lord. As much as I care for every one of these precious people, every man, every woman, every young adult, every marriage, every family, every heart, every home, every future, Lord, I know you care exponentially more, Lord, than I do for every person, every circumstance, every situation. And so we welcome you to come and speak, Lord. Bring hope, bring healing, bring freedom, bring strength, bring fresh faith and courage for the future that every one of us has in you. And then name of Jesus. And if you'll receive any or all that for yourself, your marriage, your family, give the Lord a big, loud amen. All right, so Joshua chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 2, and it says this: Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God talking to Joshua. Now, God is not telling Joshua anything that he did not already know. In fact, what you would find is in Deuteronomy chapter 34, the people of Israel have taken 30 days in the plains of Moab to mourn, to grieve Moses' passing. So this is God making a point, all right? This is not information. This is inspiration. They know the information that Moses is dead, but he's coming to Joshua and he's reminding them Moses is dead. In other words, here's what I think it means to us today. He's saying that old season, that old pattern, that old preference, that old way of life is dead. It's gone. And he's preparing Joshua's heart to have to get up and begin to move forward into a new season. And so maybe for some of you today, you need to receive that kind of a word from God, that old lifestyle, that mindset, that pattern, that attitude, that behavior, it's dead and it's dying. Leave it behind and move forward. Get ready to get up and get going into a new season. So he says, now then you and all these people, look at your neighbor and say, that includes you. All these people, he's saying, this is not about a person or a personality. He's saying, this is about the collective. This is about community. He's doing something bigger and broader than just something in the life of one person. And he's saying, get ready to cross over the Jordan into the land I'm about to give him. He says, get ready, get ready. Look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and tell them, get ready. Tell them to get ready. God's doing something in your life. Get ready for what God's gonna do in your life. Get ready for the more that he has in store, but be ready to embrace the new that he's calling you to. I preached on it in depth last week. We all tend to say amen when we want the more of God. We all tend to say amen. Do you want to go to the promised land? But he's saying, you got to realize and recognize you're going to have to embrace the new I'm calling you to if you want to walk in the more that I have in store. And he says, I will give you every place. Someone say every place. Where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And watch what he says right here, one of the most common commands in the Bible. He says, but you're gonna have to be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, he doubles down. Be very strong, be very courageous, and be careful to obey the law that my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And we see that happening, people in droves abandoning the word of God and the truth of the word of God. And he says, don't do it. He says that you may be successful. If you'll hold on to this word, be careful to obey it. Watch what he says. You'll be successful wherever you go. Come on, how many would like to be successful in everything you put your hands to? He says, you'll be successful wherever you go. How? By keeping my word, by giving attention to my word, and not just knowing it, but living it out. And he says, keep the book of the law, the Bible, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And he says, have I not commanded you? In other words, it's not a suggestion. He says, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. How can we do that? Watch, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When you're mindful that God is with you and he's for you and he's greater and he's bigger than the challenges, than the obstacles, than the oppositions, than the unknown things that lie ahead in 2024, you can stand firm, you can stand strong, you can be strong, and you can be very courageous. And that's the command today. Be strong, be courageous. Listen, I don't know what the new year is gonna hold for us. But here's what I do know is that what Joshua just said in verse three of chapter one still applies and is applicable to us today. That he says, I'll give you every place your foot shall tread. You know what that speaks to me is that he's gonna give you every moment. He's gonna be with you every part of the process as you're moving from glory to glory, as you're going from the deliverance of the promise to the inheritance, to the stepping in to of the promised land. In other words, here let me say it a better way. Let me slow down and say it a better way. He's gonna be with you every step of the way, not just on your good days. You make a misstep, he's there and he's giving you that place. And he's not just waiting until you get to the promised land. The blessing of God is not just out there somewhere. He's saying it's right here in this moment, real time, while you're going through the thing, while you're dealing with the doubt, while you're defeating the anxiety. He says, I'm with you right there where you're dealing with the uncertainty. Where do I turn? Where do I go? What's next for my life? Some of you are asking. And he's saying, just take a step. He's saying, I'm with you every step of the way. I'm gonna give you every place you set your foot. God's blessing isn't waiting in some future tense condition. God's blessing, his favor, his protection, and his provision is with you right now. He's with you right now. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Come on, if you're grateful for that promise from God, someone ought to give the Lord some praise right now in this moment. Every place, every moment. And listen, if you run into some storms, if we run into some things, unforeseen, unexpected things, maybe some storms, some challenges, in 2024, let's just remind ourselves that it will not be catching God off guard. Jesus, red letter words, Luke chapter 21, he said, nation's gonna rise against nation. He said, there's gonna be kingdoms battling against kingdoms. He said, there's gonna be earthquakes, famines, pestilences in many lands, fearful events, great signs from heaven. Watch what he says though, just a few verses down in verse 14, he says, but make up your mind beforehand not to worry. He says, you're just gonna decide. How about someone just deciding today and say, come what may, I'm gonna make up my mind that because I know that God is with me and he's for me every step, every moment, every chapter, everything that I've expected, everything that's unforeseen, I'm gonna make up my mind in advance not to worry. How many of you know that's easier said than done? It's easier said than done. But God honors quality decision. And I think a big part of it is us just saying, you know what, that's possible. That's possible. I can't do that in my own strength, but if I put my faith and my trust and if I anchor myself and I determine or redetermine and I predetermine to build my foundations of faith in this new year, that I'm gonna commit myself to embracing the new he's calling me to so I can walk in the more he has in store, it's possible to soar above anxiety, fear, worry, depression, and despair. It's not gonna be catching God off guard. He says, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. In Matthew chapter 7, we find the scripture that we sing about today in that song. And it's the story of two people, one who makes a wise decision and one who makes a poor decision. And it says, verse 24, it says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Come on, don't you wanna be found among those who are counted as wise? And he says, it'll be like a wise man. And who's the wise person? The one that hears the words of God and begins to live it out. And he says, and that's the person that is akin to someone who builds his house upon a rock. And the rains fall, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish person who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. You know what? Something that's interesting to notice right here is that both houses, there's storms coming. And so no one's immune from dealing with storms of life. Everyone's gonna go through it. He's saying even the wise person that made a wise choice, the rains are gonna come, the winds are gonna roar, the waves are gonna roar, the seas are gonna rise. He said, but if you anchor yourself, if you build yourself into the firm foundation, if you dig deep in your faith, those things can come and you'll still be standing on the other side. Luke 6 is the parallel version. In other words, it's Luke's account of the same passage that we just read. And watch what it says. It says, I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching and follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. And it's time to dig deep. It's time to draw near. It's time to grow closer to God. I want to encourage you. I just believe it's a word from the Lord in my spirit. And again, I'm not fear-mongering. I'm not buying into some of that. In fact, come what may, I'm just telling you, I'm believing this is going to be a blessed year for us. We're going to experience the blessing of God, the protection of God, the favor of God, the provision of God, the direction of God. Come what may, come hell or high water. I don't care what it looks like. I'm just trusting that this is going to be a blessed year for us. But I do sense a word from my spirit that it's a time for us to get real with God. It's a time for us to be anchored in a deeper way. It's a time for us to evaluate and consider the foundations of our lives, of our marriage, of our soul, of our heart. It's a time for us to break free of casual lukewarm Christianity and get real with God. It's a time for us to be found in God's word. It's a time for us to be found on our knees in prayer. It's a time for us to be praising him throughout the storms. It's a time for us to be anchored, building our house on the firm foundation who is the rock of Jesus Christ. It's a time to dig deep. It's a time to draw near. It's a time to grow close. I wanna encourage you with something. In fact, I wanna ask you a question. Is it possible? Is it possible that there's a version of you? Is it possible that there's a life of faith? Is it possible that there's a man of God? Is it possible that there's a woman of God? Is it possible that there are some young adults who are ready to stand up and step up and speak out and lead their generation towards Christ? Is it possible there's a version of you that only God has seen that you've yet to see in that mirror that you look at every morning? And is it possible that on the other side of today's moment, this moment, I really believe that today's a special moment for some people. Is it possible that on the other side of this determination, this day, this decision to just in a new way, in a fresh way, determine to build our lives, our homes, our faith on the firm foundation who is Jesus Christ, that there's a version of you that you are yet to meet? a man of God whose heart is on fire, a man of God who lifts up his family in prayer. There's a marriage, there's a version of your marriage that maybe you're yet to have seen or experienced on the other side of this season, on the other side of what we determine in our hearts today. Or maybe you've drifted from it. Maybe you once had that marriage that was on fire. There was intimacy, there was passion. You were praying together, you were reading the Bible together. You were encouraging one another, you were strengthening one another to discover and pursue your spiritual gifts. And there was that vibrancy in it. And maybe you've drifted from that. And maybe today God's gonna restore you back to that place. Is it possible there's a version of you, your marriage, your family, on the other side of this decision that only God has seen? And is it possible that we could look back after 2024, and I don't know how the election's gonna go, and I don't know what all is gonna go on, but is it possible we could look back and we could look in that mirror, we could say, thank you, God, that you called me in that moment to make that decision, to redetermine or in a new or a fresh way, commit myself to putting you first in my life. And thank you, I look now at the man that I see in the mirror and I'm a different person. You've grown me, you've shaped me, you've changed me, you've formed me, you've fashioned me. Too many of us get stuck in the shadow of the cross. And that's a great place to encounter the forgiveness of God and experience the love and the mercy of God. But his call to us in this season, in this hour, is to continue to move forward and to continue to grow into the man of God, the woman of God, the young person that he's called you to be and become. Again, who goals, not just do goals. I'm grateful for some of those things, but the better goal is who can I become? And the best goal is who can I be anchored to? Who can I build the foundation of my life upon as we keep God first? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33 gets quoted a lot, right? We're going to quote it. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. But let me read the pretext to you. Verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. He says, don't worry. He'll say it again here in a moment. What you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear, is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? He says, he's just saying, don't get caught up. Don't get swept up into all the things that the world is consumed by, acquiring and achieving and accomplishing and the status and the success and keeping up with the Joneses. He's saying life's more than that. And I'm telling you, people that get caught up in that, there's a moment in time where you realize that. I think it's the great Billy Graham that said, you never see a hearse dragging a U-Haul. You're not taking that stuff with you. And he says, don't get swept up and caught up into all that stuff. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer to that is yes. And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And the answer to that is no. So he says, why do you worry about these things? See how the flowers of the field grow? Amen, he mentioned it earlier. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. Jesus is trying to get their attention. And he's trying to keep them from settling for cultural expectations. And he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow was thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. The answer is yes. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But here's the scripture we quote often, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And watch this. He says, all these things will be added to you. He knows your hopes, your dreams, your cares, your needs. And he's just saying, don't get caught up, swept up into worrying and fussing about all those things. He says, watch what'll happen if you just begin to put me first. Watch how all the good things that you really do need in your life, the provision you do need, the open doors you do need, the opportunities you do need, the favor of God that you do need, the blessing of God that you desire to be on your life. He says, just put me first and watch how all these things will begin to fall into place. And I've got an illustration that I want to show you that I think makes this point in a real emphatic way. This idea of priority. Priority and pursuit. That's what seek first really is telling us, right? And I gotta set my Bible down here just for a second. Forgive me for that. All right, can we all agree that those are the same size? Right? And then we have some stones here and some sand, all right? And then I also have five big rocks. Let's say that these big rocks represent the things that are really important in life. Let's say the biggest one is God, but some of these other ones are things that are really important in your life, like your marriage, your family, your ministry. And unfortunately, many people, many of us even, we fall into the trap of kind of living this out in reverse order. We're seeking after all the things that Jesus said, if you'll just seek me, I'll take care of it for you. And so let's say that the sand represents trivial things in life, right? The sand represents followers on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, you know what I mean? Let's say that the sand represents trivial things in life, things that we might kind of get something out of in life, but like at the end of it all, it's not really gonna matter too much. But most people in our culture, in our world today are actually giving more of their time and attention and more of their focus, more of their care and concern and consideration to these things. Right? And so this is how most of us live our life. These are the first things we're really concerned about. And that's what that sand represents, right? Trivial matters in life. Then let's say that these stones, these kind of small stones, these represent good things in life, right? Good things to pursue, good things that God wants to bless you with, you know? And sometimes it's not wrong things that keep us from living our best life of faith for God. Sometimes it's the right things in the wrong order, right? And so this represents good things in life, and this is how our culture's living. Trivial things get most of our time and attention, and then we have time for some of the good things in our life. And our lives are so full with good things, right? Full with errands and responsibilities and sports and all the things. Good things, right? They're good things. They only become problematic when good things get in wrong order, right? And so this is how our lives generally look. And we're filled with all these things. The trivial things, our lives are filled with all these responsibilities, cares, and concerns. Some of them good, right? And some of them trivial. And here's what it leaves for us, is it leaves us at the end of the day, sometimes without the capacity or the space to really be able to appreciate or pursue or value or give the right measure of time or attention to the things that really matter. And so we barely have enough time and energy because we're so taxed with all these things and we're so consumed with all these things that we barely have enough time or energy to give to our kids or our family or our church. And let's say this one is your wife, your spouse, your husband. And then this one, let's say this is the biggest rock, and this is, God, there's no room. Maybe once a month, God, I'll give you an hour and a half of my time. And there's no room. We're consumed. We're filled. Our lives are filled with all these things. Again, some of them trivial, some of them really good things, but the right things in wrong order. And he says, the wise person is the one who builds your life on the firm foundation of Jesus, the rock of Jesus Christ. Seek first and trust and watch how all the other things, all these things, if you seek God first, and let's say this is the biggest rock and this rock represents God. If you seek God first, he says, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna grace you. I'm gonna give you the strength and the ability to do all these things in a way that brings blessing, not burden, in a way that brings honor to God. And so let's say that this is the biggest rock and let's say that this is God. We're gonna make a decision that we're gonna put God first in 2024. And then our marriage, you say, what are you saying, Pastor T? You're saying that God's more important than my spouse? You cannot be the husband or wife that God has called you to be if God's not first in your life. And my kids, my children, my family, surely that would be, yeah, but you cannot be the parent that God has called you to be if God's not first in your life, right? Then let's say this is your church and the way you serve in your church. Maybe this next rock is your occupation, because what God's called you to do is an important way that he's furthering the gospel in our community, right? So we've determined we're putting God first and we're gonna get our big rocks prioritized, right? These are the things that really matter, all right? And so then once we've put God first, watch what begins to happen. The place and the time and the space where we didn't have the time or space, now these are good things. These are the good things that God has called us to do. Some of you are nervous right now. Watch what happens. When God is first in your life, when God is the firm foundation of your life, this is an example of what Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, put me first, and I'm gonna grace you, I'm gonna help you, I'm gonna take care of all the other things, all your cares, all your needs, all your desires, all your dreams. And the world and our culture is doing it reverse, and there's no room at the end of the day for what really matters. And I'm telling you today, I'm charging you today, I'm challenging you today. Can we decide? Is there someone who will decide today in a new way or a fresh way or a redetermined way to put God first, to become anchored to Him, to build the foundation of your life, your heart, your mind, your marriage, and your family, and your future on the firm foundation who is Jesus Christ? Come on, if you'll do it, give the Lord some praise and a big amen. Isn't that good? And there's room left over. And there's some room left over for some things that you haven't even experienced yet that God's gonna call you to. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. He knows your cares, your heart, your hopes, your dreams. Let's keep Him first this year. So I wanna encourage you with four things. I talk about it often because it's not just a sermon or a message, it's kind of a value that we have around here. There's four things that I encourage us often. I try to weave this into messages as often as I can because I believe it helps us to bring focus and clarity onto four things that really matter in the life of a believer if we wanna experience the blessing of God in our lives. And so have you ever been at a restaurant where the table had a leg that was either too short or too long and it's kind of like wonky like that, you know, and it's really frustrating, you know? And you know what you got to do out there? You get some Sweet and Low packets and you get down on that grimy floor and you level it out, right? Or you fold a napkin up into a square and you get down and you fix that thing at that Mexican food restaurant so you can eat those enchiladas. Come on, praise the Lord. So these four things are like four legs on the table of the life of a believer. And they're God's presence, God's promises, God's people, and God's purposes. And so here's what I've learned in my life of faith, and here's what I've seen and experienced in other people's lives of faith, is that you can actually be doing really well in one or two or three of these, and you can be kind of deficient in one or two or three of these. And it's just like that table. If you're doing good, spending time with God, you're doing good, spending time in the promises of God, But you're distant or drifting from the people of God and fellowship with other believers, your table just starts to get a little wonky. And then when your table starts to just get a little wonky, it's a good idea to just say, which one of the legs on my table am I drifting from? Which one do I need to kind of bring an adjustment to? So number one is God's presence. And Joshua 1 verse 5, remember what it said? It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And there's some of us here in this room joining us online that we know God, but we don't know Him. We believe in God, but we don't have relationship. Relationships, the currency of relationship is time and communication. And that's the place He's calling you to in 2024. To a place of communicating with Him, to a place of abiding with Him, to a place of fellowship and intimacy with Him. And many of us struggle with this because we feel unqualified, uncertain about how to do it, or we feel unworthy because we really do have struggles. We have made mistakes. We're making mistakes. We have our own issues. Every one of us, the Bible said, is not without sin. So we deal with this unworthiness, and I love this. It's one of my favorite scriptures, so you hear it more often than some other ones, but Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. But watch this. It says, there we may obtain mercy and find help and find grace, rather, in a time of need. I love the way the New Living Translation says the same thing. There we will receive mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it most. Did you know that when you deserve God the least, you need Him the most? And that's exactly what He's saying here. And did you know when you're in that moment where you feel like you deserve God the least, that's right where the enemy comes in to bring condemnation, shame, and cause you to feel unworthy to be able to go into God's presence. And I'm reminding you today that that's the moment that you need to go to God. That's the moment that He desires for you to press into Him. So every year as a church family, we dedicate 21 days to pray and fast together. And to focus on prayer and to ask every one of us, not just spiritual leaders or pastors or Sunday school teachers, but every one of us is part of the family of God, to unify in prayer. It's a way that we dedicate our new year to God. It's a way that we remind ourselves that He is our source of protection and direction and provision for the new year. And so I think there's a card in your seat back right there. We have 21 days. There's 21 topics that we use to just kind of rally unity. But then I promise you there ought to be a list of things that you are praying for. These are 21 things that God kind of highlighted to our hearts. But I promise you there ought to be a list of things that in this season that you're praying and trusting and believing God for or to do in your life, maybe your marriage, maybe with your teenagers or your family, maybe in your finances or your business, or maybe with a sense of direction or purpose, something that you sense God's doing in your life or calling you to in life. So fasting is a spiritual discipline, and you find it all throughout the Bible, and oftentimes fasting was associated with great times of breakthrough in people's lives. When the disciples in Matthew 17 were frustrated with the limited results in their lives in ministry, Jesus encouraged them to pray and fast. When Ezra faced an uncertain financial future, he sought God with a fast, and God provided miraculously. When Israel was being surrounded by their enemies, the prophet Samuel called for a fast, leading to national revival and victory. Elijah fasted, and God delivered him from depression and fear and suicidal thoughts. 1 Kings 17, the widow fasted her very last meal, the last thing of her possession, and God multiplied one meal to become 3.5 years of provision. When Saul of Tarsus was blind and searching for direction, he fasted and God changed his heart, changed his name, and made him the Apostle Paul, one of the most influential Christian leaders to ever live. While the early disciples were ministering to the Lord and fasting together, God spoke and called people, assigned people to certain ministries and responsibilities. Daniel, that mighty young man, Daniel, come on, we need a Daniel generation. He fasted and he gained extraordinary influence in his generation, bringing glory to God. John the Baptist fasted and was used to prepare the way for the Lord. Esther, that mighty woman of God, she fasted and she and her family received God's divine protection and provision from those who sought their lives. Jesus fasted and discovered the strength and wisdom of God to stand against the lies, deceptions, and temptations of the enemy. Remember, after 40 days of fasting, the enemy came to him and tried to get him to lay down his God-given purpose. Jesus' fast strengthened him and prepared him to enter into and fulfill his full God-given purpose. So here's the thing, the same is true for you and I today. If you need freedom, if you need healing, if you need breakthrough, if you need provision, if you need direction, if you need protection, if you're struggling for an answer in your life, I want to invite you to discover or rediscover the power of praying and fasting. So let me give you some practical advice. Maybe you would say, there's a certain food that I want to lay down, like I'm going to do without sweets. Or maybe you might say, I'm going to do without one of the meals that I normally have during the day. Instead of going to lunch like I normally do for these 3 weeks, I'm going to go and have prayer and Bible study during that time. Or maybe it's social media. And man, how many of you know that's a trap? That social media thing can suck you in. I don't know that there's any specific scriptures in the Bible about social media. If you find them, please email them to me. But you know, I think that, can I just share something? You give me the liberty to just share something that I believe that is not necessarily in the Bible. Some of you are nervous right now too. But I wonder if maybe God would talk about social media. Because social media, there's some redeemable aspects of social media, right? There's some ways that we're using social media right now to reach people from Kansas to Kenya, all around the world, joining us through social media to worship and be encouraged and equipped in the Word of God. So there's some redeemable things. I love the idea that I can kind of stay connected to friends and family and some of the things that God's doing in your life or some of the things that you guys are experiencing in your life. But how many know that then there's a whole rabbit hole and a rabbit trail you can also get swept into, you know, and you can look up and just be like, man, I'm not sure that was good for my soul to get swept into that for that last 30 minutes or 3 hours or 10 hours or whatever. And so here's what I believe that God might say about social media is, I think he might say something similar to what he says about wine and alcohol. I think he might say, like he said to Timothy, he said, have a little wine, it's good for your stomach, but then he also warns us about the excess of it, right? Because the excess, when we go to the excess, so a little bit of it is good for, it can actually be redeemable, can actually be good. But if you get into excess, it begins to damage your mind, heart, soul, or your strength. And so maybe social media is a good thing for some of us to consider fasting, limiting our time, or maybe even just kind of muting the app or whatever for a few weeks. And can I tell you, for those of you that God calls you, because here's the thing is I'm just kind of giving you some ideas or opportunities. And what I want to encourage you to do is pray and ask God what he would have you to do, something to lay down, and some way you can fill that place, that appetite or that time or space in your life with pursuing God and putting him first. So gosh, for those of you who God calls to do something on social media, can I just tell you, I just feel like I can almost promise you, I can almost give you a Pastor T money back guarantee that it will be good for your soul. You might miss out on a few highlights of other people's lives or whatever, but I have a feeling for those of us that God maybe calls to push pause or mute that or limit that for a season, it will be good for your soul. So God's calling us to his presence. And we experience his presence through prayer, through fasting. We also experience his presence through praise. And praise is powerful. In 2 Chronicles 20, we find an amazing story. It's almost hard to believe, right? And it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army. They were going into battle, and they appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army. How many choir boys do you think were excited about that when they came to them and said, hey, we're going into battle, and we know these guys over here are well-trained with swords and spears, and they got the armor and everything, but God told us to send you guys, the choirs, going first. Get out there in front of us and lead us marching into battle. If you were a choir boy, how many of you would have been excited about that? But God's ways are different than our ways. And the story that it paints for us and the principle still applies to us is this, that when we begin to praise God, it begins to confuse the enemies, the lies, the deception that the enemy is trying to bring into our hearts. And watch what God did. In verse 22, it says, at the very moment when they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Some of you are in a fight and you're trying to win it the world's way. And I'm telling you that right now, what I want to encourage you and challenge you to do is when you begin to sense that strife, when you begin to feel that anxiety start to rise up in you, when you begin to sense the pride or whatever it is that you're dealing with begin to operate in your life, just begin to praise the Lord. The psalmist said, come and magnify the Lord with me. What did he mean by that? I think when we begin to just in our moment of confusion or pain or weakness or doubt, we begin to just remind ourselves, because that's what we're doing when we're singing these songs. That's not warming up the atmosphere for the preacher. That's us declaring the goodness of God, reminding ourselves about who God is, about what he's done. You're faithful, you're true, you're unshakable, you're immovable, you're miraculous, you're powerful, you're a firm foundation that we could trust in. And just watch how, if you'll begin, when you sense those things to begin to come up, watch how it'll shift the atmosphere over your heart, over your home. So we gotta be people of God's presence. We gotta be a people of God's purpose, our promises. And that's the P word for God's word, for the Bible. And remember, we read from Joshua 1, he said, be strong and courageous. And that's easier said than done, but he gave us the recipe for how we could do it. When he said right after, he said, be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you, this book. And he said, don't turn from it to the right or the left. And he said, if you do that, you'll be successful wherever you go. More than ever, we need to return to the word of God, to the word of God, to the truth and the grace of the word of God. John 1 verse 14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And I promise you, this is a book of grace and truth. When Jesus came, the word became flesh. He showed us grace and truth. And I've said it before, it bears repeating in the context, that truth without grace is mean, but grace without truth is meaningless. And we need to approach people with grace, but we need to once again restore the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's word to our hearts, to our minds, to our marriages, to our families, to our pulpits, once again, to begin to dig into God's promises. You know, I want to take a moment and just encourage you. If you have not already downloaded that Rev City app, and there's sermon notes that you can find on there. There's the Bible is on there. You can use that to read the Bible. And every day, our team is seeking the Lord for a word from God to encourage you or challenge you or convict you with, or to bring you into a nearer, closer, deeper relationship with God. And our team is doing an amazing job producing those things. How many of you have been blessed by those daily devotions? Let me hear from you. Let our team hear. It's been good. It's been a blessing to me. And I think they have some visuals right there that they're gonna show you. I wanna encourage you to go download that app. And right there on that first image right there, be sure to jump up there and touch that button right there and develop a profile. It'll just give you access to some features and things in the app. We're not gonna bombard you or spam you or anything like that. So if you're kind of gun shy about giving your email or whatever, just have some courage to set it up. It'll just give you access to be able to type your own notes in there and kind of save some things, and it'll kind of populate some things for you and give you access to your giving records and things like that. And then I wanna encourage you, jump on notifications. And I wanna encourage you then to make sure your notifications are on. And then down there, we give you the opportunity to automate what's important. In other words, go ahead and just set up a push notification where every day, at whatever time, maybe you want to set up a couple of those in case it comes at a time that's inopportune, and then you're going to get another one later in the day, to just take 3 or 4 minutes and just get in God's word and hear what God is saying specifically and uniquely to us as a church family. So we need to be a people of God's presence, God's promises. We need to be a people of God's people. Remember what we said? I had you say it out loud. Now then, you and all these people, what God was doing right there was about more than just Joshua, about more than a figure or a personality. And he's doing something special here in this church. And maybe for you in this season, that's the P that has maybe become kind of unsteady or kind of caused the table of your spiritual life of faith to maybe get wobbly, and you're realizing that you've distanced yourself maybe for whatever reason, busyness, or you don't feel worthy to be involved or whatever. You've gone through a storm or a season in your life. And right now, I'm just encouraging you, challenging you, and inviting you to reconnect to the people of God. If this isn't the church for you, we'll help you find one that's a better fit for you. But find somewhere where you could become known. Find somewhere where you could serve and give and live out your life of faith. Become a part of the community of God. Because how many of you know we're better together? And lastly, God's purposes. I mentioned it earlier. Some of us have gotten stuck in the shadow of the cross. And that's, if you're going to get stuck somewhere, that's a good place to do it, right? But you know, you hear my heart. What I'm saying is that once you've been saved, once God saved you, once eternity is settled for you, there's a life of bringing heaven on earth. There's a life of living out the purposes of God that God intends for you. There's a life of difference making that God is calling you to on this side of eternity. 2 Timothy 1 says, he saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose. And in a world that's concerned with status and success, all those things that were in the bottom of that jar, God's calling us in this season to a life of purpose and significance as we put him first, as we make a decision to, in a new way, in a fresh way, in a redetermined way, to make sure that he's our firm foundation. To make sure that he's the rock that everything else is being built upon. And when we do that, all the other things fit, all the other things flow, all the other things are accomplished with his grace and his strength, not our striving. Seek first and all these things will be added to you. Would you stand to your feet, and as has become our custom as you're standing, would you ask the Holy Spirit what he's speaking to you? And then just listen. Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me? Are there places in my life that I've got things out of priority, out of whack, misplaced priorities, or maybe good things in wrong order? There's some places where my foundation has been damaged, or maybe it never really was fully formed. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you. Maybe you've suffered some blows. Maybe there's some damage. Foundations can be repaired. It's challenging work, but foundations can be repaired. And right now, I just believe that the Lord wants to come into those places that have been broken or shattered, and it's causing that area of your life. Maybe you're good over here. Business is good, but marriage is a struggle. Or vice versa for you. And he's coming into that place, that part of your foundation today. And I just see him just in my spirit. I just see God just reaching in, and he's healing, he's restoring, he's reforming, he's reshaping. He's strengthening, he's anchoring. He's digging deep into those places because he wants to do something deep in your life. Before God builds high in our lives, he digs deep in our life, and he's tired of the superficial stuff with us. And some of us, that's been the mountain we've been going around with God. And who am I preaching to that's you? You're kind of scared to go there with God, or you're holding on or holding back something that right now, just believe the Lord's just, he's gracing you by his mercy to get real with him. He wants to go deep into that place to rebuild that foundation so that he can once again begin to build your life of faith. While you just stay in that posture of receiving whatever it is the Lord's speaking to you, again, reminding you, revealing to you, while you stay in that posture, let me give people the opportunity to come to faith in Christ and to begin to build your life on the firm foundation that's established by a free gift. It's a free gift. You don't get good to get God. God comes into your life right now. If you're here in this room or joining us online and you're dealing with sin, you're dealing with shame, you're dealing with struggle, you've made some mistakes, some missteps, you're the target of the gospel. The Bible said that Jesus came while we were still far from him, while we were still lost in our sin. That's when God sent Jesus into our lives. We don't get good to get God. We get God and he starts to make things new, make things good in our life. So if that's you, or maybe you're here and you've drifted from God, you believe in God, but you're far from him. You maybe once knew him, loved him, maybe even served God, but today, because maybe you've become preoccupied with those cares of the world or made some unfortunate choices or decisions or just drifted from God. If that's you today, this is your moment to come back home to your Heavenly Father. And if that's you today, Jesus told a parable of someone like you when he told that story of that prodigal son. And if that's you, the posture of the Father towards you is the same towards you as it was towards that prodigal son Jesus spoke about. Where that prodigal son said, maybe I can go home and just be a slave in my father's house, just a servant. Maybe he'll give me just kind of a nominal role. And the father's heart was this, looking for, longing for, eagerly expecting and anticipating that moment when that prodigal son would take one step back onto the father's property. He went running towards him, embraced him, kissed him, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his back, called a royal festival, said, today we must celebrate. For my wayward one has come home. And that's the posture of the Father towards you right now. If you've drifted from him, his arms are wide open. And so if that's you, weighed down by sin, you need the free gift of salvation, a new life, a fresh start, or you need to come back home to your Heavenly Father. Here's the step I want to ask you to take right now. Be bold, don't wait. You know who you are. Lift your hand high towards heaven. Lift your hand high towards God and say, that's me, I need forgiveness. That's me, I need a fresh start. That's me, I need to come back home into the arms of my Heavenly Father. I'm tired of doing it in my own strength. I'm tired of striving, I'm tired of struggling. I need the redemption, the forgiveness of God. I need a fresh start and a new life. And that's what many of you are experiencing right now. God's washing you, he's cleansing you. This outward stretched hand is a sign of an inward work that he's doing in your life right now. If you raise your hand, you can lower it. And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray this prayer. We're gonna pray with you. We want you to hear the sound of brothers and sisters in Christ right from the start, coming alongside you to support you in your new journey, in this new life of following and living for Christ. So come on, let's pray this prayer. There were many people who made that decision today. Let's pray boldly today. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, say it loudly, I'll never be the same. And put your hands together, rejoice with all of heaven. Come on. I hope that never grows old to you. Hey, we're gonna worship God one more time together and then Beth's gonna come dismiss you. But can I just encourage you to hold on, hang on, cling to whatever it was that God did in your heart. I just have a sense that many, many people, many of us, maybe all of us, there's something that God spoke. There's some way he reminded you of something, revealed you to something, or challenged you back to something, a way that you need to reprioritize some things in your life. And then lastly, come on, would you come and be a part? Would you take that card? Would you get on that app? All the devotionals are gonna kind of tie into and kind of marry with the 21 themes for the prayer and fasting. And man, I'll be praying for you. I will be praying for you. You need breakthrough in your life, provision, healing, direction. I am going to be praying and fasting for you. And I'm just believing that there's gonna be some great testimonies on the other side of this season together as a church family. Amen? Amen. Hey, one more time, can we give the Lord some praise? Come on, give him some praise. And let's worship. Let's worship one more time.